salespeople, calling all salespeople. Get prepared for a slim, bald-headed brother with skills, wearing a tailored suit, polished shoes, and gold watch. Last seen in Atlanta, boarding a plane, on his way to do another training. Sales pros, tighten up.
What's up, sales pros? I'm excited to bring you a different episode today because today I will be interviewing Antoine Woods, who is a president and senior strategist at Cultural Sync, which is a branding company right here in Atlanta, Georgia. I actually met Antoine about a year ago now at a networking event. We hit it off pretty well. So I wanted to have him on the show and talk a little bit about his company as well as how branding and sales relate and also how sales affects his business. So I definitely want you guys to sit back and enjoy. I'll keep the introduction short because obviously I want to give some time for Antoine to kind of tell us a little bit about himself, tell us about his business and how sales kind of relates to everything. So without further ado, enjoy the interview between myself and Antoine Woods of Cultural Sync. All right, guys, I have a very special guest for you today. I'm here with Mr. Antoine Woods, president and senior strategist of Cultural Sync. Antoine, welcome to the podcast today, sir.
Thank you, Tamar. Thank you for having me.
No problem, man. So if you would, you know, I gave you a little brief introduction before getting you on the interview, but tell the audience a little bit about yourself, your company, what you do, hometown, you know, whatever you'd like to share with the audience.
Okay, yeah. So Cultural Sync is a brand strategy and communication agency that provides business leaders with the ability to successfully position themselves in the marketplace. And outside of professional, married with two kids and live in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. You're originally from Atlanta or...
Oh, yeah. So originally I'm from the Nashville area. So, you know, the home of country music. So I definitely miss it.
So how did you get into branding? Then we'll jump right into to a couple of questions I have for you there, Antoine.
Yeah. So while in college, I partnered with a few guys and we did several business initiatives together. So I ended up being a serial entrepreneur for a few years. And after the group kind of broke apart, I was really trying to find like what about business that I enjoyed because I wanted to stay in the entrepreneurship realm. And I realized with each business I was doing like the naming, the positioning, basically the demographics and things like that. So after I realized that, you know, what I liked about it and realized that was basically branding, I mean, the positioning, I dove in, I started consuming every book, every article I could, really dove in into that profession and took it seriously. And now I've been doing it since 2012.
Okay. So 6 years in, congratulations on that. You know,
Thank you.
Of entrepreneurs don't get to that level, you know,
right.
Year one, year two, or shortly thereafter they fall apart. So definitely want to commend you on that. Now, of course, you know, this is a sales featured podcast, and me and you have talked offline a couple times about how sales and branding kind of correlate and they have some relationship between each other, especially in the business realm. But specifically for the audience, I'd like to know, and I'm sure they want to know, how does sales affect your business or how do you see sales in what you do?
Yeah, so I mean, I think with any business, sales is very important. Without it, you know, you're not going to be in business very long. I think in terms of our sales approach, it's mostly word of mouth. You know, for my business, I've definitely used you know, online marketing, you know, Google AdWords and things like that previously, but you know, predominantly clients come from word of mouth, but. I mean, you know, without sales, your business won't grow. You know, it's not going to grow, not going to flourish. So it's definitely, you know, the lifeblood of every business.
Okay. Do you feel like you ever find yourself in a sales situation, like a one-on-one sales, or is it more indirect sales in the company that you run?
I think kind of both. Definitely one-on-one. I mean, I think a lot of times what I find is that I'll kind of just meet someone, and then we kind of just indirectly get through conversation. I kind of, I'm a person who asks a lot of questions, especially when I'm kind of meeting someone. So I'll kind of just find, you know, an area that kind of fits my expertise and kind of ask some more questions on it. And typically we'll find that they need help in a certain area that, you know, that my company assists in. And I really just go from there, kind of just see how we can be an asset to them.
Okay. So even though we haven't addressed it in this podcast episode so far, you basically just set up a few steps in my approach of the Sales is Simple approach, just based on what you're saying, you know, really selling yourself. So asking the right questions, you said, and, you know, that's the A in the approach for me. And then landing them on the perfect offer. And once you get a chance to ask them the questions that you ask, and you can figure out how you can best help them, you know. So that was, I just wanted to make sure that the audience caught that, that this is not a traditional sales industry that Antoine's in, you know, branding and making sure that people are staying on the same page when they come that are messaging and stuff like that. But he still has to sell. So with that being said, you know, thinking about the approach, actually, like I said, I do have a 5-step approach. What letter in that approach really resonates with you the most, Antoine?
Yeah, so I would definitely say it's asking the right questions, especially when you're dealing with branding. You know, that's really a key part, is making sure that the client, as the business leader, really understands who they are, or, you know, who their business is. A lot of times, you know, we'll have a business idea, we'll get a business card, we get a website, and we're in business.
Right.
And we really haven't thought of those internal elements. I don't know the exact statistic, but I mean, it's highly unlikely that you're going to, you know, have longevity or sustained success if first you don't understand who you are as a business and then who your target audience is. But even if you knew who your target audience is, you can't effectively communicate or sell to them if you don't know exactly what it is you're offering and the best way to communicate that to them. So that's exactly what we do. So in terms of, you know, the right questions, then of course that leads us to landing on the right offering, because we offer several services. But once we kind of get those questions answered and realize where they are in their business process or their need, we have 4 offerings in which that they can, you know, we can move forward with.
Okay. Are there specific questions that you always ask, or certain answers that you're trying to get to help you direct somebody to making sure that their brand is, you know, excuse the pun, in sync with their vision?
Yeah, I think that the first question that I typically go in to, and this usually works, you know, 10 times out of 10, I'll ask, you know, who's your product for? Who's your service for? And typically, unfortunately, I say a lot of times they say everyone.
Okay.
And then that's why I can go into, okay, great. But, you know, there's no one product that's for everyone. Outside of, that's really the only product that everyone needs. So I really feel it's important that you're specialized. And two, you know, I've been there too early on. We just don't realize that. You know, we just think, hey, the more I market to people, the more they know about me, the more the business will grow. But that is that's the easiest way to go broke, basically, in your business.
Right.
If you know exactly who your target audience is, you're able to segment and pinpoint and market directly to them, but you're saving time, it's saving your marketing dollars, it's helping you speak directly to them. So it's so many benefits, not only in terms of marketing, but if you get your positioning down initially and understand like who you are or whatnot, it builds a roadmap for your sales team. The whole nine. Basically, if you do your positioning initially from the beginning, or even if you're in business now and you're doing that and you kind of work on your positioning after your business, but once you have that together, it's a roadmap from that day on to the beginning. In your business, like you know, a small pivot in terms of direction or whatnot, you always have that positioning roadmap to kind of see exactly who you are as a business. So let's say, for instance, if you're possibly thinking about partnering with someone to do a certain endeavor or work on a project, you can ask yourself, does this fall in line with the company's vision and the company's values? and you already have that roadmap. So you can easily just take a look. If you don't know about art, which you should, but you can just use that document and say, you know what, this doesn't fall in line with the vision I have of the company. This may not be the right approach or right partnership for us. So, I mean, it helps you from beginning to end.
That's some very valuable information, and I definitely concur with that. When you are sitting down with a client and you decide, okay, here's the offerings that I think are going to work for you, or here's the direction that we need to take, what are some of the results that you see that people get as a result of following your advice when it comes to branding and making sure that their core message is consistent across all their platforms, consistent across all their the paraphernalia that they have to put out, or their marketing efforts? What do they get as a result of getting a unified brand message and vision?
Yeah, I think one of the key things we always tell our clients is that it leads to growth. So if you're clear on that objective, your company is going to grow. But one of the key things we see is that so understanding your positioning, within your brand and within the market, is going to help your turnover in terms of your hiring, firing. I mean, because the people that you're going to, who you're hiring, they know who you are as a company. If they're a good fit for you, and vice versa. You already know if they're going to be a good fit for where you're trying to go because you have an outline. It's going to help, like I said, reduce, basically your marketing spend in terms of, your outreach and you trying to obtain new customers. And then as well, it helps you retain customers because they know what it is you stand for. And your roadmap allows you to stay consistent with that. So if you have a customer, you guys have been working together for, several months or several years or whatnot, they know what they're getting. And if you happen to kind of get off track with that, you can always go back and say, you know what, we're falling off these 12 elements. Let's get back focused. And, it kind of just keeps everything in line.
That's some phenomenal information. It makes me think about a couple of different things. First and foremost, the selling aspect of it, of course, is it's hard to sell to your customers if they don't really know who you are, if they don't get a real feel for what your company stands for, what you stand for personally, what your salespeople in the field stand for. If they're not aligning with the brand message that you're putting out there, it's going to be hard for them to connect with you and say, all right, this is somebody, either individual or a company, that I want to do business with for these reasons. So that was one of the things I got out of what you just said, was trying to sell to people, and either you shifting or you're trying to stay aligned with the vision that you've already laid down as a company and say, okay, here's what we're talking about. Something that made me think about something that's happening recently, and I want to get your take on this as a brand strategist. Been seeing a lot of commercials recently for Burlington. Okay, I see a lot of that on TV now. And I can remember, and I'm dating myself a little bit here, but I remember when it was Burlington Coat Factory. Yeah. And I remember when it was, that was all they sold, and that's what they pushed. So they were saying, all right, when it was wintertime, you went to Burlington Coat Factory, right. Or at least that was one of the places you shopped at, because they kind of branded themselves as a coat factory. Over time, they started to transition and say, okay, well, we want to start carrying clothes. We want to start carrying baby items. And then I guess they realized, well, us being branded as a coat factory ain't going to work if we're selling baby items, clothes, and little trinkets. So what's your take on, did they do the right thing? Obviously, I think they did the right thing changing their name. But do you think they're successful at rebranding? Or did they make a mistake in the beginning by just branding themselves as a coat factory?
Yeah, so I think, so speaking of Burlington, when I was growing up, that's where we went to get our coats for the winter. So Burlington Coat Factory, I'm well aware of. But yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of times, so let's say, and I don't know their backstory, but a lot of times as founders, we have an idea and we run with that name and we sell that one product, and then we become successful in that. And then you get a team around you and they say, hey, how are we going to scale? Are we doing scarves? Like, what else are we going to do? And with people, so you kind of look. So, a lot of times when you're purchasing, say like coats, for instance, it's mostly, of course, for yourself, adults, but a lot of times it's for kids as well. you know, if you have children to come in and do your codes, you may also, they may also be interested in some, you know, some household items. Mm-hmm. And I recall that's like one of the first things I remember going in there. I'm like, oh, they have, you know, like pots and pans right. now or things like that. So when people are kind of coming in, it's still in their heads, they're coming in for the coats. It's like, oh, you know what? They have a pot set. Oh, it's discounted. Let me check this out. Then over time, you know, now you go in, they have shoes, they have cutlery, they have rugs. I mean, it's the, they've got everything now. And I think people still go in for the coats, but now they know it's kind of a, like a TJ Maxx or, you know, like a Ross or, you know, that type of store. But, you know, I think that works for them. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that easily for a lot of companies. But they seem to have a pretty smooth, but they had a decent transition into that. And two, I think a lot of times, of course it wasn't called social listening back then, but now I'm sure they did a good job of doing social listening and kind of hearing their customers instead of the customer saying Burlington Coat Factory. I'm sure a lot of people were saying Burlington, right, without the Coat Factory.
Right.
So they kind of saw people still recognize our brand with just that name being used. So they kind of, I'm sure it helped them, kind of gave them a push to drop that Coat Factory and say, we're more. So without them saying we're more than Coat, they just drop that and then allow people to kind of see it for themselves.
Right. So you figured it was a pretty successful transition, or I guess they're still kind of in that transition phase because the commercials are saying we're just Burlington now. So from your perspective, that's a pretty successful branding campaign or rebranding campaign.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I haven't, like I said, Coat Factory in a while because I've just seen the growth. You know, we've never really just came out and said that we rebranded, but now it's kind of put it out there. And then two, it's kind of, I'm not going to say it's a dated brand, but in terms of them doing advertising, hey, you know, being new, like this has been refreshed, even though it hasn't been, but perception is reality. So if you kind of putting out there that it's kind of refreshed and new, kind of, you know, prompts people, you know, in their mind to kind of go and check it out. But in terms, I would say just really quickly, in terms of a company who had a successful rebrand, I would say Arby's. It's probably one of the best ones, yeah. You know, for years. You think it's roast beef, you think it's beef and cheddar, curly fries for years. And they realized that people are wanting those fresher options, those deli sandwiches quickly. And now they're just completely just deli sandwiches all around, and they're opening new stores. They completely remodel their locations, and now I go to Arby's. I don't even get roast beef. I get like something completely different. But for years, that's just what we knew because that's what they sold. So
right. So as you can see, the relationship between branding and sales, and Antoine has given us a lot of good information. You know me, I promise you guys to try to keep it to 20 minutes, and it's going to be tough with Antoine here today. But I do honor your time and making sure that we stay close to that 20-minute mark. But one thing that you did mention about Arby's, and I want to relate it to sales, obviously, because this is a sales podcast, and with Burlington or any other company that's branding, a lot of times the branding comes into play when either sales are up or sales are down. When they're saying, hey, we aren't getting our brand message out, like in the case of Arby's, you know, they're saying they were probably losing sales to the restaurants who were giving the fresher options. People weren't right. buying, like you said, roast beef and curly fries. So they were probably sitting in a boardroom somewhere saying, why are sales down? And this correlation between sales and branding was, okay, we have to rebrand to increase our sales. Or if we rebrand, our sales will go up, you know, or our sales are down because our brand is flawed right now, you know. So I just want everybody to kind of see how that relationship works between making sure that you have a strong brand, you have a consistent brand, you have a brand that your customers understand. And if you're an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, that brand might be you. You might be that brand. You might be the person who they have to connect with. And if your message is all over the place, and you're talking about 15 different things and they can't really connect with you on any one of them, it's going to be hard for you to sell, and it's going to be hard for them to say yes to you. So I'm sure Antoine can really dig into your situation, give you some insight on how your branding looks, how you might be able to change your brand, how you might be able to unify your brand. So Antoine, do me a favor, and just wrap up. Give us any final thoughts that you want to talk about branding, sales, how they relate, you know, and then tell people how they can get in touch with you. Any kind of website, social media handles, whatever you want to share.
And in terms of reaching me on all social media platforms, whether it be LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram or what have you, it's Antoine Wood Jr. with the JR. And then in terms of our company, we can be reached at culturalsync.com.
All right. That is Antoine Woods, President and Chief Brand Strategist for Cultural Sync. I'll make sure to have all his information in the notes so you can definitely connect with him. Antoine, I really appreciate your time today, man. We'll definitely have to have you back on the show again. Hope some of these listeners will reach out to you, get their brands in order, whether it's their personal or their business brand. And brother, it's always good talking to you, and I will definitely catch up with you again.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Mr. Antoine Woods. I'm sure you got some real good information that you can apply both to your personal sales career as well as to your company sales. Make sure to stay tuned to my website, opportunitydevelopmentllc.com, as well as the Facebook pages, other social media accounts and pages, as me and Antoine will be doing some collaborative workshops, seminars, as well as webinars in the future, talking about how branding and sales kind of coincide to help propel your business to success. Always good talking to you guys. I look forward to hearing back from you with any feedback that you have, any questions, comments, suggestions for any podcast episodes, as well if there's anybody else either specifically or in an industry that you want to hear be interviewed on the podcast, make sure to let me know about that. In the meantime, go out there, sell something, make some money, brand yourself, stay true to your brand, and make sure to always remember that the best way to get what you want is by giving others what they want.